The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I thought that all my gifts were going to be like when you're 18 years old, here you go, here's all your giftings, ta-da! But that isn't the reality. Throughout life, we have all of these different giftings, right? So I don't want to go before God and Him go, that one's not open, that one's not open. Oh, I gave you that one at 56. Oh, that one was at 63. Oh, you missed that one because you were fearful and you pulled back.
Author and speaker Dawn Barton helps you find your midlife battle cry next on Life Today.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. I'm super duper excited about today's show.
Are you?
I am.
You know she's been on before.
I do.
But you weren't here, and so now you get to talk to her.
Exactly. That's why I'm excited.
Okay.
She is a best-selling author. She's so fun. She's such a great conversationalist, and I love her sense of humor. Her first book was Laughing Through the Ugly Cry, yep. Which I can totally relate to. But she has a new book out, Midlife Battle Cry, and I'm going to talk to her about that to find out if she's still laughing. Dawn Barton, it's great to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here again. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell me, midlife battle cry. How is it that you ever went through a season where you felt lost, maybe questioned your identity, questioned God, what's next? I think your life was moving fast. It seemed like everything was coming into place. And how did you get to a place where all of a sudden the brakes, everything stopped and you thought, where am I and who am I?
Absolutely. Well, I went from a very fast-paced life and then did the first book. And not only did everything sort of come to a halt for a while, pandemic, but also, you know, after the first book was done, but we also moved and I stepped into this role of caretaker. And I may be gifted in a lot of things, but that is not one that I think it all is within my giftings. And so I kind of went into a season of flailing. Feeling a little lost and feeling like maybe a little invisible.
Really?
And wondering why my giftings or my perceived giftings weren't being used. I didn't hear God in that season the way that I did in other seasons or perceived that I didn't. I was wrong, but that's what it felt like. And I threw a big pity party.
When you say caretaking, was this for elderly parents?
Yes. So we moved out to a property where my parents lived next door, and my mother-in-law lives in the house with us, along with our 16-year-old and my husband, and some horses and cats and dogs. But it just to go from, I'd never been in a caretaking role, and honestly, I'd only met my mother-in-law 5 times before that. So it was a really big change of roles, and it kind of entered into this midlife pity party, and I worked really hard to get out of it and then reflected on what had just happened and wrote a book out of it.
So obviously there was change in your life. And I think when any of us go, like we get comfortable with the way life is kind of flowing, at least I have even in my 50s. And when something is thrown at me in like a big change, I think it disrupts everything. And it sounds like that's kind of what had happened with you, just something new and something changed. And how do you, when you see, like I'm in the middle of something and I feel a funk right now, how do you get out of that? What decisions do you make to move out of that into a new place in your life?
Well, I will tell you that I passionately fought for myself. You know, I think we have to participate in our own rescues. And mine started with something, y'all are gonna laugh, something so simple as, let's go back to, what are my favorite colors? I remember walking in my closet and it was sort of this, you know, like Sophie's Choice, as I called it, of doom and gloom, of closet, black and a lighter black and a darker black. And I just thought, when did I quit wearing color? I used to love corals. And, you know, when did I start dressing in a way to stand back versus radiate joy in a sense, right? So I started examining that. And then the next day I went to a grocery store and I heard a song playing that I love. It was actually Pavarotti's Nessun Dorma. Don't make fun of me. I know.
But what kind of story are you in?
It was Public's grocery store. But I just thought, you used to have songs like this on CDs and listen to them.
Yes.
When did you quit listening to music that stirred your soul?
Yes.
So I started doing this like deep dive into finding myself, and the fact that I had to go back to, what color do you like to wear? Mm. It was sad in a sense because I was that disconnected with who I was. And I started to redefine who I was, not in my 20s or 30s or 40s, but in my 50s, who am I today? And then it went from there.
As you know, fortunately, men don't go through any kind of midlife crisis ever. So, you know, as one who's immune to that, no, seriously, this is something that we are entering into because with my wife, you know, all of my four children are now married and out of the house. And with just some of the change of scenery, we go through these different seasons of life where our role to other people is different. Mm-hmm. So for you to say, I went back and rediscovered, it sounds like you're trying to kind of connect with maybe God's purpose in your life, not just to other people, but individually, maybe? Yeah, is there some of that going on?
I think that I had in my mind this invisible line. And to the one side of that line was all the great miracles of my life. So the birth of babies and marriages and careers and all those great things, all the miracles of my life. And I was starting to believe that here on this line, the other half would be devoid of that, which is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. Where God does not say you're only getting all the great miracles here and there's going to be devoid of miracles here. It just doesn't work that way. But I had to just re-examine what my personal feelings were about midlife. And I came to figure out there is no midlife to God. God doesn't look at us and say, thanks so much for coming. Take this number, sit over there. I'll call you when your time's up, right?
Right.
Ever. He calls us to run full out all the way. And I think embracing that and figuring that out and just that, what did that look like for me in this season? It was different than it looked like 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. And that's all it is. It's not the beginning. We're not on the top of a mountain, then going downhill, you know, in our midlife, which I think is what we sort of perceive. Yeah. It's just the beginning. Yeah. It's a pivot point. It's a redefining point. It's sometimes I think it's God taking our shoulders and going, pay attention. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
know?
Absolutely.
I still need you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 55. So I feel like, honestly, I feel like I'm in my sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm too young or too old, but I've lived life. I have life experiences. So I can speak into the life of my nieces and I can help guide them in ways from places I've been in my own life, good decisions, bad decisions. But I just feel like so many women stop living at a certain point, you know, like you stop hanging out with your friend, you stop going to the gym, you stop grabbing a movie, you stop grabbing a coffee. I don't know what does it take for the woman on the other side today that just like, I feel numb and I can't move from this place. And I feel like I've up until this point have done nothing with my life. How do you speak into her life to give her some encouragement?
Well, I want to say that at this point, whatever our age is, it is the best we have ever been, the absolute best. We have loved more, we have lost more, we have won more, we have failed more and gotten back up. Now, we may not physically, like I don't know what this is what's happening here, physically we may not be the best, but it literally is the best we've ever been. And we're more ourselves than ever before.
Yes.
And yet, we start taking a step back, which is completely wrong. This is the time, I think, when the world needs us the most.
Yes.
We truly start to step back and hand the microphone over to somebody in their 20s who doesn't even really know what a chin hair is yet. So,
yes.
And I think we need us both collectively. We need, you know, the young voice as much as we need our voices, but we cannot pull back in the season of life. And that's not what we're meant to do.
Yeah. I still get up. I just get up slower.
That's right.
Right. Do we get any negative messages from the world that kind of maybe feed into this crisis?
I think we 100% it is fed into that. What we believe, I think, has come from what the world is telling us, social media is telling us, and all of that. But I will tell you, the demographic of women 45 plus is the biggest, most sought after buying demographic. We hold the most money of any other demographic. We hold the buying decisions. So we're the most valuable. But what's funny about it is they have actually not figured out how to talk to us because we're not these grannies of yesteryear.
Right.
We're still vibrant women doing incredible things. You know, I didn't write my first book until I was 50 and didn't figure out I loved to speak until I was probably 40. So what a life would have been wasted have I thought 50 was the end or midlife was the beginning of an end.
Yeah.
We've got to quit listening to that. And we've got to go back to what God speaks to us.
What does God say about people in the latter half of life?
Well, you know, I know that for me, when you ask that question, I think about the giftings and the beginnings. I thought that all my gifts were going to be like when you're 18 years old, here you go, here's all your giftings, ta-da. But that isn't the reality. Okay. Throughout life, we have all of these different giftings, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go before God and him go, that one's not open, that one's not open. Oh, I gave you that one at 56. Oh, that one was at 63. Mm-hmm. Oh, you missed that one because you were fearful and you pulled back. Mm-hmm. Or, Sandy said something and you never opened that one and that was at 71. That one was really good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't want to live that life, you know?
Dawn, what were some of the early challenges in your life and how do you think that's impacted you today?
Oh, gosh. Well, if you look at my life, I think some would say you've had like tsunamis of pain. I have in my life, I have lost a child. I've been raped and it went to a full jury trial. I've had stage 3 triple negative cancer. Jeez. My husband battled with alcoholism. He's 8 years sober now. Wow. My mother had a brain aneurysm. My sister passed away from cancer. A lot of other things that that a lot of people have been through as well. But it was in the valleys that I got to know God at a really deep, beautiful level. And sometimes I feel a little sorry for somebody who's just had a life that's like this, because when you're down here, you get a relationship that's so different. And so when you're reaching, it's not just a mountaintop moment. Yeah. When you live a life that has a lot of valley moments, you have a really deep, beautiful relationship with him.
That's why so much of your story means so much to me, because I do agree with you. When we go through some life changes and some life challenges, it forces us to come into contact with a different God, mm-hmm. and in relationship mm-hmm. with a different God to me. I think that's how my own relationship grew out of my own pain
right.
with Jesus in such a deeper way. And I'm so grateful that even though you've gone through these things, that you've been able to come out on the other side. And God has used that pain and he's given you words for that, that you probably never saw that was possible to write these books that are now helping other people, whether it was Laughing Through the Ugly Cry, which I think every woman needs to have that book, hilarious. And then this new book, and you've got more to come. God has so much inside of you, but it's also because he's taken you through so much that you can speak to that.
They both were birthed out of hard scenarios. They didn't come out of mountaintop moments and telling the story from it. They both came out of hard seasons. And if you look for it, you're always going to see the miracles around you and the blessings around you. But if you live a life, especially going forward in this midlife, and decide that the story is one of defeat and a victim, and or is it going to be one of, you know, a victorious story of what you learned, and you take that and you go forward with it to help others with their difficult times too. And I think that's what we're called to do.
So right? what is your midlife battle cry? What is Dawn's battle cry?
I hope that the battle cry, that this book becomes a hug and a battle cry for women to not pull back. I just don't want us to pull back. And I see so many of my friends, because our bodies are different and our faces are different, we think that is a permission slip to pull back, and it is absolutely not. I think so. My battle cry to every woman out there is to not step back, but even if just take one step forward and remind the world that you are still here.
And I think making some really intentional choices to keep living. So for me, it's like, I do, we talked about that. I go to the gym every day or every other day, depends on what I've eaten, you know, but I make some intentional choices. The friendships that I have, the fun that I put on my calendar. I think you have to choose to live. You have to choose to keep moving forward, whatever that might look like for you individually.
Yeah. I'm curious, what are you hearing when women sort of get this? What are you hearing from them? What kind of fruit does this produce?
Well, I think, honestly, one of the biggest surprises was how it was a common theme of us sort of feeling a little invisible, a little forgotten, that we just weren't relevant anymore. And I think a lot of it is self-induced. I was wondering, how much did I do that to myself? How much do we do it to ourselves? Are we just listening to another voice? I think the enemy would love that for us, right? Because it would pull us back and stop us from blessing other lives. But I think when women talk to each other and realize that, we're all kind of feeling this, and that this is not the time to pull back, and that it's a permission slip to go out there and be fully yourself, that there's a lightness and a beauty in that for all women.
Yeah. Have you noticed how many women in the Bible are mentioned at an older age when God used them? I mean, you can walk through the Old Testament, and I mean, age was never a barrier for God.
And I didn't see any of them deciding, like, I don't see anything in the Bible about, oh, and they retired.
Yeah. Like right.
She retired. Oh, she was getting, you know, her lower back was sore and her knee was bad, and she just decided that, you know, which is right. Physical ailments become sure. the reasons we pull back, and we just need to stop doing that.
That's right.
And just go full out, no matter what the physical is anymore.
I have a question, because I have two daughters in their 20s now, and, you know, coming out of COVID, that exposed, I think, a lot of insecurities, especially in younger people. They were told that, you know, if they were around, they were going to kill their parents or kill their grandparents. A lot of fear mm-hmm. stirred up, a lot of anxiety. We're seeing a spike in mental health issues. Mm. I believe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think the women in the latter half of life are more needed now than ever. Do you see mentoring as a huge opportunity?
I think it's everything. I think that there's the world speaks a divide and God speaks community,
yeah.
right?
Mm.
And we have to be together because there is such beauty. I think when you have life groups and small groups, if you can have that mixture of ages, mm-hmm. Because we learn from the young just as much as they learn from us, right? You have to go yeah. both ways, but you have to have community together. I think we desperately need it as we're older, but I also think we desperately need it as we're younger.
Yeah, I think you're
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that earlier. You know, just the opportunities that God has given me also to speak into the lives right. of my nieces and my nephews mm-hmm. And how important that is. And it's been important for me to also find value in that. Like I have something to say that God has given me experiences and he's grown me in so many areas of my life. I think you also have to see value in yourself. You've got to see worth in yourself and to know that your voice matters, your experiences matter, your pain matters, everything that God has brought you through matters. Don't waste it. Share it with other people. Mentor them. Share your life with people. I think in doing that for me, it gives me great purpose in wanting to live. And maybe in my own midlife of 55, I haven't hit a wall yet. Don, I don't know, is that going to come when I'm 60? I don't know. But I feel alive. And I don't know how I got there because a lot of stuff has happened in my life too, but I feel alive and I want to live. I want to experience life and I don't want to listen to the lie that tells me that I've hit a certain age and I'm done. I think there's so much more life to live, and that's why I appreciate you so much being that cheerleader, that fighter for so many of us that have stopped living. And even like taking the steps and like, God, what am I supposed to, you know, impart into somebody's life? And he gives you this amazing book, The Midlife Battle Cry. We all need to have a battle cry and we need to fight for our lives. We need to fight for healing and restoration. And I think there's so much in this book that will help us to keep moving forward and to get out of a place where we might feel stuck.
Yeah.
How can people find you?
You can find me at dawnbarton.com. I am most active and I still respond to all of my own stuff on Instagram at Dawn R. Barton.
You have a great Instagram page. I love it. I'm following you now, girl.
Thanks.
Yes.
We would like to put this book into your hands if you are interested, if you need a little battle cry in your life. And we're going to do that today when you will do something that is really, really important. You actually, no matter how old you are, male, female, you can have an impact on someone's life that is life changing.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this real quickly, and then we'll tell you how you can make a difference in someone's life by giving them life. Mm.
There's an African proverb that goes something like this: a mother is like a kernel, crushed by problems, yet strong enough to overcome. That reminds me so much of so many mothers, mothers like this, hundreds of mothers that I've engaged with all over the continent of Africa, mothers who have truly faced such challenge, such problems, and yet they are strong enough to overcome. You see that resilience and that resolve in them that says that they will overcome, overcome for their children, overcome for their families. But the reality is that for many of these mothers here in South Sudan, the problems that are crushing them are so great right now. The reality for many of these mothers is that there is no food to be found. In fact, mothers have explained to us how literally there's no corn kernels left. They've actually been taking the raw corn cobs and crushing these and feeding them to their children to eat. No nutrition in here. And in fact, that leads us to what we can do. That literally we can be God's hands and feet here in this area, that you can be God's answer to prayer and provide what's needed so that literally we can bring these mothers and their children, these villages, the food that they so desperately need, and that we can save life and then help them to sustain their lives.
Mothers are some of the strongest in the world, and I think when it comes to their children, they will do absolutely anything that they have to do. When I watch a piece like this, it really breaks my heart in such a way because they're so limited. There's not a whole lot that they have, and I think that burden is so heavy on them every single day to provide for their children, to give them life. And I think the thing I love so much about this organization and this ministry is that we can step into these places, Randy, and we can help bring life to her children. We can take off the burden from her that is so heavy. She's searching every day for food. That's what blows my mind, taking that little bit of corn. I mean, she'll do whatever she has to do, but to think that we could go in there and just relieve her of some of that, take off some of that burden.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, you've got people who are working hard, harder than most of us in the West work on a daily basis, just trying to provide food for themselves and for their children. And you know, you look at maybe violence in their region, displacement, not their fault. Floods, not their fault.
Right.
Famine, not their fault. Failed crops, not their fault. They're just in a position where they need something to get them through for maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, whatever the case is. That's why mission feeding exists, to bridge that gap where something out of the control of some wonderful, hardworking people has put them in a tough spot.
Yeah.
So 350,000 children
exactly
every day. 350,000 children
That's
every
incredible.
Day. Those children get to eat a bowl of nutritious soup mix specially formulated to meet their needs. That happens because of viewers just like you. Many of you have given in the past towards mission feeding. Many of you give on a regular basis. Some of you have never given at all. And I would invite you just to pause for a moment and say, what can I do? Is there something I can do? Because the reality is every little bit helps. Just to break it down for you real quick, $30 will help feed three children for 3 months. That gift today will go that far. $50 will feed five children. $100 will help feed 10 children for the next 3 months. Some of you could maybe give a gift of $500 or $1,000. Whatever you can do, you can help those who are in the most difficult position that they have ever been in. It is a life or death situation. That's why it's urgent that we get there with the food and do it today. If we could hear from you today, whether it's online or on the phone, we will know that we are able to go out and continue feeding, to feed more, whatever the case may be. We've got people in the field, on the ground, right now, ready to go. They just need your support. That's why, Tammy, I'm praying everybody will do anything that they can,
Absolutely.
Everything that they can.
Together, together we can make an enormous impact. Let's bring them some hope. Let's bring them life in the form of mission feeding. Would you do that today? Go online or go to your phone and make the best gift you possibly can. It will make a massive impact today.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50 or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is our chance to give back. Give back into a program that works, one that you can trust, one that's reliable, one that does what it says it's gonna do. That's a ministry I wanna partner with. When I look at a child like this, there's nothing I have to sacrifice. There's nothing she's crying out for. There's nothing that she even needs except for food. So I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging you today. If you've never ever had a chance to give, please let this be your moment to make a huge impact. Go to your phones right now, call the 800 number at the bottom, go online, and I challenge you to give the best gift you possibly can. I promise you, it will make an enormous impact into the lives of hundreds of thousands of children.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone. Make the best gift you can. You will be saving lives when you partner with us in Mission Feeding. And if you want Don's book, you can request it today. Don, thanks for blessing us on the program. I know this is going to bless so many people.
Thank you for having me again. I love being here. I really do. Thank you.
You're so fun. We appreciate you. Get the book. You're going to want to get the book. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Robert Morris shares how you can find God's supernatural favor in your family, finances, and faith, and live a blessed life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.